podcast from AusCert's 2009 conference is brought to you by Microsoft. For full risky business coverage of AusCert, point your browser to risky.biz.
Hello everyone, Patrick Gray here, and you're listening to Risky Business 2. And you can subscribe to this podcast and our main podcast at risky.biz/feeds. You're about to hear an excerpt from a presentation by Roloff Temming. Roloff is the creator of Multigo, a very interesting bit of information visualization software. We've all heard the saying that we leave digital footprints on the web. Well, Multigo is all about showing us those footprints. Well, in this part of his AusCert presentation, Roloff talks about falsifying those footprints or creating false online identities. It's seriously interesting stuff and not the sort of thing that you normally hear at a security conference. I'll be posting an interview I did with Roloff at some point also. Anyway, here he is, Roloff Temming, doing his presentation at AusCert's 2009 conference. Enjoy.
So, now we're getting to the second part of the presentation. And if you start playing with these kind of things, you got to kind of think of the darker side of what you can do with this. With my background, you just can't help thinking of it. So, let's assume that we've now created an information footprint for a particular company. At this stage, we know about all the directors in the company. We know the email addresses. We know their hobbies. We know where they hang out because they might be in a social club that a lot of these guys are. We know if they've got blogs, all of these kind of things. We've collected all of that information. Now imagine you have it now somewhere in a table or a graph or a notepad or whatever. If we don't find an email address for person X, we can go create that, right? So I want to tell you a story. A friend of mine said to me, keeps on bugging me. I've got to be on Facebook. I'm like, dude, I don't do that. I don't really want to be on Facebook. He says, but you know, I say, and it's a registration process, man. I don't want to go through it. He says, you know what? I'll register you. I go, okay. You need an email address for that. He says, do you use Gmail? I say, no. He says, I'll register for you that as well. Okay, now, this is where it gets scary. So now, imagine this, right? What prevents him from registering that? Nothing. And what prevents me, knowing everything about these people, to now build these profiles up? So I'll give them an email address. And nowadays, it's okay to have a Gmail address, hey? In the past, someone gives you a Hotmail address, you kind of go, but dodgy. How many of you use Gmail? Come, let me see. Oh, wow. Okay, so you see, it's okay to have a Gmail address. So for executives and people, it's also okay to have a Gmail address. So we can build those profiles up. We can put them on LinkedIn. We know everything about them. So we create this profile that looks really good, right? We've got pictures there. You know, take pictures of them, put them on Flickr, register them on Facebook. And after a while, we own that identity. And that's kind of special. Because now we can do all sorts of things. I mean, we can basically really easily do a press release that says we're doing this and this and this. And if the guy at the press office starts looking it up, he's going to see all these things. He's not going to doubt that it's the right person. My point is online identity does not exist. Now, here comes the interesting question. Can you automate this? Even with captchas, right? And I think you can. So I'm going to show you this program that does not exist. That says, build me from this file of names, build me entities, register them on Facebook, LinkedIn, Bebo, MySpace, Twitter, Orkut, and randomize it, and give them Gmail, Inbox, Yahoo, Hotmail, and Mailinator accounts, and create blogs for them. And we take the captures and we farm it out somewhere to, I don't know. I had this conversation with someone at Microsoft and I said, I don't know if it's going to work because it doesn't scale so well. He says, of course, it scales perfectly well. How many people in the world would be willing to finish captures for you? You now got networks, right? You got guys that you can send captures to and they kind of complete them for you. As a, you know, 10 cents a capture. So the capture is not a problem. The thing is, once you have identity, you can't just create the identity. You got to give it water and you got to give it food and you got to feed it. Okay? So we can add this thing on top that says, well, every 12 hours, do a little post, do an action on Facebook, use this identity file and make a comment on someone's blog and kind of just grow this whole thing. The application does not exist. Okay, so what's the big deal? You know, as they say, how to make friends and influence people. Well, if we have, imagine, you have 200,000 identities that's nicely grown to your disposal. And we want to decide today that Manos Hands of Clay is going to be the best new movie. Then we can start voting for it, right? Okay? We can manipulate ratings of things. We can sway public opinion. We can use it for political gain. We can alter stock prices. Everybody decides the Sony Vaio is really a bad notebook. We're gonna write on every blog we can find stuff about Sony Vaio that's really just not good. So, and the thing is, what you need to keep in mind is that people are kind of flock animals, right? So you have your little army of virtual identities and you go, okay, well, we're going to go in this direction, right? And after a while, people start going, oh, cool. Ah, oh, let's go in this direction as well. And then you can plug out and you've created it. It's done. We've got it sorted. So you just need to be that initial catalyst and get critical mass and then you can run. So. I've seen a couple of presentations here, and all of these really nice presentations, they've got this profound quote. It's like, you know, and you read it, you go, wow, that's awesome. So I thought I need a profound quote as well. So I started looking for it, you know, profoundquotes.com. I couldn't find any. I couldn't really find someone that said something about this. So I've got this quote. If we assume that only a small percentage of the internet consists of unique information, then creating acceptable content and human-like behavior becomes no more than a complex copy and paste process. If we acknowledge the existence of a single fake entity on the internet, an entire automated community should be within our reach. Who said that? Well, I said that. Okay, so. I had this thing, like, I had a name in there, but it, you know, I thought I'm going to get in trouble if I just put some random person's name in there. Unless I invent them first, so. Could, of course. Okay. So, how do we fix this? Listening to a lot of talks that we have here, all the guys on stage say, we kind of know what's the problem, you know. We're keeping devices open with default passwords. We don't have, you know, we're not addressing the problem, rah, rah, rah. And when you listen to what they're saying, you kind of think, well, they know what the problem is. I'm not saying the problem is fixed, but they kind of know what the problem is. I'm thinking, that's not even the start of this, because it's relatively easy to know what the problem is. It's really hard to predict what that system in the long term means to us. So, for that example, a bank in South Africa decided it was a really good idea to give only their clients free email addresses. And at the time, it seems like a really good idea. Hey, you bank with this bank and you get a free email address. And it had a special domain that it was connected to. And then, 2-3 years later came spear phishing, and it really seemed like a bad idea, right? Because now, if I want to target that bank, dude, I just search for that domain, and I find this lists and lists of these email addresses that's being created, and if I want to target that bank, I know I've got 100% hit rate on those email addresses. And you can't blame the people for not thinking about this, right? I mean, they send SMS to their customers notifying them of updates and alerts and things like that. And I go, okay, that's quite cool using technology, but wow, dude. Now, think about it. You're sending SMS to your client. So you basically, in the mind of the client, you're making it okay that the bank is communicating to them via SMS. So after a while, they kind of go, oh, this is from the bank. Yeah, no, cool. Install this patch. I'll do that. But it also means that the bad guys, having that channel now trusted, can use it as well. So we don't think about the implications of what our systems are actually doing. And I say, the vulnerability is the system. The fact that the system is there. Not a vulnerability within the system, the fact that the system exists. So, I say, you know that you screwed up when you want to go back in time and kind of regulate something. You're going to go, okay, we've got this thing, but we don't know really. So maybe it wasn't such a good idea. So you know what? You're going to have to do it like this. But once you're at that stage, you've lost. Because the bad guys are not necessarily listening to what your regulations, right? We have things like, even if you think about something like Google, right? Google says, we got this awesome thing. You can look up any information in the world. Okay, sweet. But you can't automate it. Because if you automate it, it starts becoming a little bit of a problem, right? There's a lot of examples of things in life that we wish we could kind of uninvent. You know, nuclear energy, we kind of go, well, we had that whole atom bomb thing with that. Maybe it's not such a cool idea anyhow. Chemical warfare, you know, things like that. Cigarettes, think about it. If we never had cigarettes, we would have been addicted to it, you know? So, with that, I thank you for your time. I hope it was enjoyable. And if there's any stuff you want to talk to me about or you want to know about whatever, I'll be outside. Thanks.